Okay, the shiur this morning is about what you just saw. Everyone saw it, I'm sure?
Yes.
Okay. These are the things that, unfortunately, much to our utter dismay, we've been missing this year. Pardon? These are the things that we've been missing this year, and therefore I thought it would be very, very important that we speak about it, and that is that we weren't able to celebrate neither the Simchas Beis HaShoeva in a beautiful sukkah like Babov, nor Hashanah Rabbah as you saw it with hundreds of people, let alone Hakafot Shniot or regular Hakafot, with so many people dancing with us. And I wanted to discuss this morning one of those issues, and that is one that I think is a bit misunderstood, but I think it's important that we understand it. It's what's colloquially learned and called Berov Am Vahadrat Melech. Berovam Vahadrat Melech, that we'll try to define this morning. Okay? Everybody ready?
Yes.
Good. Now, I am going to show it on PowerPoint. All the Mekorot. Obviously, if you want to follow in the more primitive way by using a source sheet, you have it in front of you. It's the same Mekorot on both. But I thought it might be easier this way, simply because I think that you'll see it in front of you, and it might be easier to both see me speaking as well as see the Mekorot in front of you. So let's begin, and let's see if this works. Merovam Vahadrat Melech has three manifestations. Manifestation number one, dividing the mitzvah between many people. The Gemara in Masechet Yoma talks about the fact that in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim would divide up the work, and let's just say that Harold, as well as Bruce, who are our Kohanim at this Kolel, came to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says in Masechet Yoma, Payish Sheni, the second rotation, Mi Shochet, Mi Zorek, Mi Medashen HaMizbeach HaPnimi, Mi Medashen Et HaMenorah, Mi Ma'alei Averin LaKevesh. Explains Rashi, Mishum Barovam Bahadrat Melech. So in the Beis HaMikdash, instead of having one person shecht, take the blood, bring it to the Mizbeach, throw it onto the Mizbeach, they divided each part of that particular avoda between different people. And Rashi explains because of Barovam Bahadrat Melech. Namely, in our tradition, there is a notion called dividing the mitzvah between many people. So one people would shecht, and one other person would throw the blood on the Mizbeach, and one person would take the dust off the Mizbeach, called the Trumat HaDeshen, and another person would clean the menorah, etc. So we have this in Kochim, we have this in Korbanot, but we also have it in our shul. If you look on the bottom of the source, you'll see the Mordechai. The Mordechai, I always like to quote him because he was killed by Kiddush Hashem Lo Aleinu. He was the Chavrusa of the Rosh, both students of the Maharam Rutenberg. The Maharam, as you know, was taken to jail. The Rosh, unfortunately, the Rosh was saved by going to Spain and becoming a Sephardic rabbi, but the Mordechai, unfortunately, was killed at Kiddush Hashem. So it's always a mitzvah to quote him, and Shilui Yudvarim Li'ilui Nishmato. Says the Mordechai, we practice this in our shuls. How do we practice this in our shuls? I would say donations and membership is dependent upon this. Does anyone know what I mean? Take a look at the Mordechai, and somebody tell me, what do I mean? Ma'aseh b'chol yom, it happens in our shuls. She'reuven mitpalel shachris, v'shimon koreh, v'levi mitpalel musaf. If you know how to daven and lane, do everything. Daven, lane, daven shachris, daven musaf, lane. Says the Mordechai, we divide it between different people. Why? He explains. Kal v'chomer from what we learned. Uma ha-kohen shekvar zacha, shekvar kibel adam biyado, afal piken otin lacher lalicho. A person started a mitzvah. Bruce has the blood in his hand. But he doesn't finish the mitzvah. He gives it to someone else to continue and do a second mitzvah of bringing it from the shechting spot to throwing it on the Mizbeach spot. Kal v'chomer, says the Mordechai, in a shul where they're not the same mitzvah, but they're three different mitzvot. You have shachrit, you have musaf, you have laning, and you have aliyahs, and you divide it between different people. And says the Mordechai, And this is interesting because I haven't seen this being practiced yet. Everybody ready? V'chein ha-mishpat. She'achol liknot lo hoshit ha-mi'ilim la-golel. Anyone know what that is? In weddings today, we're always looking for more kibbudim. So there's a new kibbud. The new kibbud is, we've already have the guy who brings the ring to the chuppah. We have two edim to look at the giving of the ring. We have two other edim to look at the signing of the ketubah and then sign on the ketubah. We have another two edim that actually look at the giving of the ketubah. And you have sheva brachot, which you can divide between 6 to 7 people. No? Anyone know the new kibbud at weddings?
Who brings the bride in on the pillow?
Now that's already given. This one's a good one. Who puts the glass under the foot of the chassan to break it? Says the Mordechai, a new kibbud. Who hands the gartel and the cover of the Sefer Torah to the guy doing glila? And even though the guy doing glila can take it himself, we like to divide things between different people. So manifestation number one is divining the same mitzvah between different people. Very nice. Manifestation.
That's the opposite of Rav Hadrat Melech.
No, that is Berovam Vahadrat Melech. Instead of one person doing everything, you divide it between different people. Understood? Okay.
Yeah.
Next. Manifestation number two. Many doing the entire mitzvah simultaneously. Not one person doing the first part of the mitzvah, the second person doing the other part of the mitzvah, but rather many people doing it simultaneously. The Rambam learns it from Bikurim. Ketzan ma'alim et ha-bikurim. How do you take the first fruits? Kol ha'ayarot shebe-ma'amad mitkansot li'iro shel ha-ma'amad kedei shelo yayu yechidim shenemar berovam v'adrat melech. Says the Rambam, when everyone brought Bikurim, it's nice when so many people do it at the same time. So they all came to one place where they got together, and then they brought it up to Yerushalayim together at the same time. Based on this, says the Magen Avraham, even though you're allowed to daven at home with a minyan, it's better to go to a shul and to daven with 20 or 30 or 40 people. By the way, I'll just say in parentheses, this led to one of the biggest machlokeses in the history of machlokeses. If you have a big shul, can you have a breakaway which will daven better or perhaps have better chulent or not? Berovam v'adrat melech means as many people together. On the other hand, as we'll see later, it may negotiate and compromise on your kavana. Okay?
But
yes.
What were you saying? If I have guests over for lunch, you're making kiddush for Friday night. Only one person is supposed to do Rav Hadrach Melech. As supposed to each person make their own individual kiddush.
We'll get to it. Maybe according to this, it's better that everyone makes kiddush at the same time. But we'll get to it. We'll get to the mitigating factors. Just to go through a few examples that we go through during the year very quickly. Even though in Megillah, when you read the Megillah on Purim, you're allowed to read it b'yichidus. Says the Shulchan Aruch, tzarich lachzor achrei asara, do everything possible to do it in a minyan, and explains the Mishnah Bura. Even though you even have a few people at home, such as 100 people at home, mitzvah lelech l'shah mishum berobam v'advat melech, the more people during the mitzvah simultaneously, the better. Says the Bir Halacha, which is the Mishnah Bura's perush on himself. So the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir, from Radin, known as Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kargan the Chafetz Chaim, wrote a parish on himself called the Biur Halacha. So on a Friday night, you have one Lechem Mishnah on the table. We don't have 25 Lechem Mishnahs. So the reason is, according to the Biur Halacha, is because it's better that one person does the mitzvah for many people at the same time. And that's Berovam Vahadrat Melech. And the Mishnah Berurah says that's the reason why one person makes Avdallah. One person makes Avdallah for everyone, so that we have Berovam Vahadrat Melech. So manifestation number one was dividing the mitzvah between many people. And manifestation number two is many people doing the entire mitzvah simultaneously. From this perspective, let's go to manifestation number three, and this is the last one, and that is...
into it.
Yes, question.
Okay. You know, you started off a marriage with a man and a woman, and the rabbi gives you permission and everything. Why do we have to break a glass? I mean, this is it. It's not necessary.
I didn't understand. What do you mean it's not necessary?
Why do we break a glass? I mean, you can use the glass for something else. You don't have to do it. You don't have to break it. Why do we have to break it? That's what I'm trying to say.
Why do we have to break a glass at the wedding? You want to know why we have to break a glass at the wedding? That's your question?
Yes.
There's two main reasons given. Now, hold on. There's two main reasons given. Reason number one is that we, even at a wedding, have to balance out the simcha. It's a true simcha. It's the highest simcha. As a matter of fact, the most precious and nicest clothing should be saved for a wedding. So you have nice clothing for Shabbos, nicer for Yontiv, even nicer for a wedding. Having said that, we want to balance it out, just like we balance out Purim with a fast day beforehand. So that's reason number one. Reason number two is to remember the Churban Beis HaMikdash, even in our happiest occasions, as it says, Im lo a'ale et Yerushalayim al rosh simchati. That at the head of our simcha, we still remember Yerushalayim. So those are the two main reasons given. Now, having said that, let's go to manifestation number three. And that is one doing a mitzvah in the eyes of many. Namely, you don't have a bunch of people sharing a mitzvah. You don't have everyone doing the mitzvah at the same time. But rather, you have one person doing the mitzvah and a lot of people looking. Now, where do we usually see this? I put a picture here of the Pittsburgh Rebbe. Zichrono Livracha, he died over Sukkot. I see that Harold just wrote me a message. Harold remembers the Pittsburgh Rebbe's father from Cedarhurst, and so do I. This is his son who died on Sukkot. Unfortunately, at his funeral, there was a terrible Chilul Hashem, and not to his kavod. But here is a picture of the Pittsburgh Rebbe shaking lulav on Sukkot. Now he's shaking lulav. Look at the Hasidim. What are they doing? They're looking. They're looking. They're not doing a thing. This is a kiyum. This is a kiyum of Barovah Badrat Melech. Namely, just looking. Just looking. We have an example of this in the Avoda of Yom Kippur. I put it here from Masechet Yoma. So if you looked at the Kohen Gadol reading the Torah on Yom Kippur, you didn't hear him, you didn't see him, go ahead and take care of the par and the sa'ir. And explains the Gemara that indeed, while you were looking at the Kohen read the Torah, he's reading the Torah, not you, you couldn't do another mitzvah. Why not? Mishum ba'ovram v'adrat melech, it's a holy mitzvah to look at the Kohen when he's doing a mitzvah. So instead of doing a mitzvah in the privacy of your own home, you do a mitzvah and everyone can look. So every Rebbe shakes lulav in the sukkah based on Kabbalah, and all the Hasidim look as he's shaking lulav. That's all they do. They look. They don't do a thing. You want to see a video of this or you take my word for it?
Take your word for it.
All right. If you don't believe me, you can go online afterwards. So we found three manifestations today of Berovam Vahadrat Melech. Go through them again. Number one, dividing the mitzvah between different people. So different people share the mitzvah. As we do in Shul, one person Shachris, one person Musaf. Number two, many people doing the entire mitzvah, but at the same time. Like we found in Bikurim, reading the Megillah with a lot of people around you. And number three, one person doing the mitzvah in the eyes of many. Now comes the question that Harold brought up before, and that is this always true? And namely, are there any mitigating factors that would say, even though you can do the mitzvah in the eyes of many, you shouldn't because of some other factor? Now everybody here knows that we have been dealing with this since the beginning of this terrible pandemic. What do I mean? Instead of doing the mitzvah in the eyes of many, we've been limiting minyanim and then limiting them outside of shuls to outside, etc. And I have to say that I am absolutely flabbergasted, disgusted, and upset at what a certain Belzer Chassid Chaber Knesset said in the Knesset 2 days ago. He said outright that the Israeli government is a bunch of Nazis because they wanted to close down shuls and that's all they care about. And those that care about Judaism went to shuls with hundreds of people on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Simchas Torah. That is the most biggest narishkeit, and I would even say disgusting embarrassment of a Chaver Knesset, not to mention 100% untrue. Everything we've been doing is to ensure the safety of the public. No one in their right mind in the Israeli government woke up one morning and said, you know what I want to do today? I want to stop Jews from davening. There was no such thing and there won't be such thing. And it's just amazing that in the Knesset someone can get up and say it and thinks he's right. And it was a terrible Chilul Hashem. Not to mention, because he has a kippah on. And he was saying that in the eyes of Judaism, we're right and you're wrong. We're right to go ahead and have hundreds of people without masks in a closed shul, and you're wrong. Because you care about Nishmartem Od Nafshotechem, and we care about doing our kafos together. It was terrible to see, and it was terrible to hear. So that, of course, is a mitigating factor. It goes without saying, Pikuach Nefesh V'Doche Berovam V'Hadrat Melech. However, if we're in a regular circumstance, what's Doche? There's three factors. So we said there's three manifestations, and today there's three factors. Just like in the Israeli army, everything divides up into three. Number one, at the expense of delaying a mitzvah, you don't do Ram Vadrat Melech. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, how come you blow shofar before Musaf, but you say Halal at Shachris? And the Gemara says, and you may think this is a modern thing, but it's not. The Gemara says that once upon a time, Jews would come to shul towards Musaf. The shul wasn't packed at Shachris, it was packed at Musaf. So at Musaf, you have more people there. Berovam v'hadrat melech. So how come you say halal at Shachris? Answer, mishum d'zrizin makdimin l'mitzvot. We learn from Abraham Avinu that when you have to do a mitzvah, you get up early in the morning and you do it at the first possible time. By Ashkem Avraham Baboker before the Akedah, we learn that anytime there's a mitzvah, as soon as the sun comes out, try to do it. Therefore, we do all the mitzvot right in the morning. Give me a few examples. What did you do this morning as soon as you woke up? After you washed your hands and you said the Birkos HaShachar, did you put on tefillin in Shachris? Or are you going to say, you know what, I'll put it on at Mincha? What do you say?
Put it on in the morning brachot, and we put on at tefillin.
So why do we put on tefillin right in the morning? Because zrizin makdimin lemitzvot. We shake lulav and etrog in the morning. Mishum zrizin makdimin lemitzvot. Correct. Now, this being the case, if you look at this particular halacha, you could see that many a times you have these two clash. And one of the examples in the next slide is a bris. You can do a bris early in the morning, at right after Netzachama, and you'll have five people there, maybe a minyan. You should have a minyan at a bris, if you can. Or, when can you do a bris? Later in the day, with maybe hundreds of people there. So says the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do a bris till Netzachama on the eighth day. And even though you can do it all day, Zrizin Makdimin L'mitzvot Umalin Miyad Baboker. Explain, so from this perspective, you should try to do it right in the morning. And here we have a machlokes achronim between these two gentlemen that you see their pictures here. On the right side, you see the picture of Rav Chaim Cheskiyahu Medini. Does anyone know how he's known as? Rav Chaim Cheskiyahu Medini lived in Hebron, this day Chemed, one of the encyclopedias on Judaism. It's just an amazing encyclopedia of every day on every issue, up to his time, of course. He lived and died in the 20th century, 1904. And he says that, in his opinion, it's terrible what people do. He quotes the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef was the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, who wrote endless svarim, who says that Zrizin Makdimin L'mitzvot is more important than Berovam V'Hadrat Melech. And therefore we say Halal at Shachris, not at Musaf. Therefore he thinks it's a mistake that people put off the bris till it's convenient for people to join. You do the bris right in the morning, regardless of how many people are there, because Zrizin Maktim in the mitzvot. Rav Yaakov Breisher, the Shvus Yaakov, much earlier, was very upset when there's a bris on Rosh Hashanah or on Shabbos. The Chazanim would take their time and sing and yench and chazin, and the bris would be way after Chatzos. On the other hand, Rav Uvadia Yosef on the left side of the page quotes Rav Shlomo Levilna. Rav Shlomo Levilna was a dayan in Vilna. Do you know why he was a dayan in Vilna and not the chief rabbi of Vilna? Does anyone know the story? Ever since the Vilna Gaon died, no one wanted to be the chief rabbi of Vilna. They said no one gets to his Rama, even though the Vilna Gaon sat in a corner. But they said no one can be the chief rabbi until the 20th century, where the government forced it and there was a big machlokas to listen or not. So there was dayanim in Vilna, and one of them was Rav Shlomo Levilna. He died in 1905, so a contemporary of this day chemet. And he seems to say that Zekesh Toshim Shana, for 30 years already, he heard that people do brises later in the day because Berov Am Vadrat Melech. So we have a machlokas achronim. When Berov Am clashes with Zrizin Makdimin LeMitzvot, what overrides what? According to this day chemed, as the Gemara said, Zrizin Makdimin LeMitzvot is more important. But according to Rav Shlomo LeVilna, Berov Am Vadrat Melech. Rav Uvadia Yosef on the bottom of the page says you should do the bris in the morning unless you can't get a minyan. And then you should put it off because the Shulchan Aruch said preferable to do a bris with a minyan. So mitigating factor number one, what happens when you have a clash between doing the mitzvah at the first possible opportunity versus doing it with more people around? Okay? So from this perspective, if you want to remember this, you can remember this as the machlokas between... Anyone want to give it a nice phrase? I'll try. The machlokas between one's a crowd versus a crowd is beautiful. Next, mitigating factor number two. Daven on your own. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah says, Shomeya Keone. What Shomeya Keone means? It means, Bruce, even though you're not listening, no. It means if you're listening, then it's as if you did the mitzvah that you have to do with your lips. So if you listen to davening properly, attentively, active listening, not listening while playing on your phone, but listening, says the Gemara, Shomea Keone. The Tosfos, however, says, Umiu. When it comes to davening, it's better that you daven on your own. And this is based on a Yerushalmi in Masechet Brachot, Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel, that says there's three things we don't want to somech on Shomea Keone. Number one, benching. If you, ve'achalta v'savata, then thank God for it yourself. Number two, Kriyat Shema. If you want to accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven, do it on your own. And number three, davening. Namely, if you have to ask God for something, do it on your own. Don't nominate a shaliach for it, a someone messenger. So from this perspective, even though Berov Am Vadrat Melech would dictate that one person should daven for us all, the Tosfot, based on Yerushalmi, says when it comes to davening, benching, and Kriyat Shema, do it on your own. So that's mitigating factor number two. So number one was when Zrizin Makdimin LeMitzvot overrides or doesn't override Berov Am. And number two, benching, davening, as well as Kriyat Shema. Better you do it on your own versus have someone do it and we all listen. Number three.
Well, in terms of the morning question, should everyone settle together early to do it, given the choice? So it is a large group and they get up early and they all meet you at the bris. Rather having, 10 guys at 6:30 in the morning.
We just said that's exactly the machlokas between the Rav Shlomo Levilna and the Sdei Chemet. What overrides what?
Is it better to have the larger group simply arrive early? Or does it not really matter? The time is the
factor. Of course it matters. That's the whole shiur we're giving, Bruce. Of course it matters. And that's exactly the dilemma. When you have a mitzvah you need to do, and you can do it right away, but later you can do it with many more people, what overrides what? Of course it matters. It matters very much. Okay? Number three is the following, and this is what Harold mentioned earlier. Friday night, I can make Kiddush. I know how to read Hebrew with the dots. So can Bruce. It's better that I make Kiddush and Bruce says Amen. Or, Rovam v'hadrat melech, better one mitzvah done simultaneously. Or no, I'll make Kiddush, then someone else would make Kiddush, etc. This comes out mainly in the mitzvah of Zimun. As you know, if three people eat together, you should say Rabotai Nevarech and bench together. Now, what happens if you have six people? Should you have one Zimun for six? Or should the groups split? And then three and three, each will say the Rabotai Nevarech, etc. So, the Shulchan Aruch says, I don't know. He says, Shisha Nichlakim, six people can divide. But, the Rama says, Yecholim Lechalek Im Yirtzu, V'nirali Dehu Adin B'Shishai Namechuyavim Lechalek, Akim Yirtzu Nichlakim. You could divide, maybe you don't want to divide. What's the Machlokas? Mishnah Berurah explains that according to the Eliyahu Rabbah and others, right side other page, it's better to go ahead and do it together because Berovam Vadrat Melech. So instead of having two Zimunim, you have one Zimun. So, indeed, you can have a situation where many people do the mitzvah at the same time. One benching by many. However, the Taz says, Berovam Vadrat Melech may be important. But what's more important? The kol chad v'chad doing the mitzvah. Instead of having just one person say Rabotai Nevarech, have two people say it. More brachot in the air. More blessings coming out of people's mouths. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Shulchan Aruch Harav, Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi, who authored the Shulchan Aruch Harav, says when it comes to Hamotzi, you can have one person do it, it's fine, but when it comes to mitzvot, it's better that each person do the mitzvah on their own. So though it's a mitzvah to make a motzi, it's not an obligatory mitzvah to eat bread every day, only if you want to. But putting on tefillin, that's a mitzvah every morning. So it's better that each person say the bracha on their own. So theoretically, you could have had the chazan in the shul say, everybody say amen to my bracha. They say amen, it would be good enough. Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, better that each person say the bracha on their own. Kedei lahar bot bebrachot, number one. And number two, ra'ui yoter shi'ikayem kol echad ve'echad ba'atzmo, mitzvot ha'bracha, mishiyikin mena al yedei shaliach. Now,
the mitzvah on the goof, the tefillin, as opposed to other mitzvah?
Well, everybody is doing the mitzvah on their goof. The question is only the bracha. Only the bracha. Now, Harold mentioned this before. This is the dilemma on a Friday night, and therefore I do not have a conclusion on it. Is it better to have Berovam Vahadrat Melech, one person making Kiddush for the whole family, Berovam v'hadrat melech, one person doing the mitzvah simultaneously for many, or better that each person make Kiddush on their own for the two reasons mentioned here by the Taz and Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi. Number one, laharbot b'brachot. And number two, ra'uish yoter shikayem kol echad v'echad mitzvah b'atzmo. So if you know the Lubavitchers, do follow this. And even in a house where one person make Kiddush, everyone makes Kiddush on their own. That's the way they do it on a Friday night. I'm just going to say my opinion on this. I think it's very problematic for the following reason. When is it true that each person can make their own bracha? Answer, when you didn't hear the bracha from someone else, and therefore you can make your own bracha. But if you've already heard Kiddush, the only way that you didn't yotzei is if that the whole time the person's making Kiddush, you had in mind not to be yotzei. And that's very difficult to do. Why is it so difficult to do on a Friday night? Because it's a long Kiddush. Yom HaShishi, Vayichulu, etc. Asher Kiddushandu b'mitzvot v'ratzavandu. The whole time you have to think, I'm not Yotze. I don't want to be Yotze. I don't like this guy. This guy's ugly. I hate the way he says the Kiddush. I hate his Hebrew. I hate his Nigun. It's very difficult. So, Savir Lahaniach, that a normal person was Yotze on a Kiddush Friday night, unless each person makes Kiddush quietly. And therefore, I find it very problematic on a Friday night that even though you heard Kiddush, you make Kiddush. Mashal lema davar dome. If you already in the morning made Birkot HaShachar, then you can't go ahead. You can go ahead and say it for someone that doesn't know Hebrew. However, if you didn't say Birkot HaShachar and you came to shul where they say brachos in the morning and they say all the brachos and you say Amen, you can't go ahead and say the brachos again. You've already said Amen. You were Yotze, the Birkot HaShachar mitzvah of the morning. So therefore, I find it very problematic at Kiddush. However, as you could see, if it wasn't that you heard it from someone else, the question was, L'chadchila, what would be better? Would it be better that every person make Kiddush on their own, perhaps simultaneously at the same time, so that you don't hear it from others? Or, Baruch Ba'adrat Melech would dictate one person for all. So we saw this morning, this particular...
Where they make Kiddush?
Pardon?
Do we have that exact situation in America where they make a Kiddush in shul?
No.
And everyone has a mind not to be Yotze?
No. No, no. Kiddush and shul in America, in Chutz La'aretz, no one's Yotze. For the following reason. You need Kiddush b'mkom Suda, and you don't have it. So from this perspective, no one's Yotze. However, at home, if I made Kiddush and you heard it the whole time, and the whole time you didn't have in mind not to be Yotze, it's very hard for me to believe that you weren't Yotze. So how do you make Kiddush again? It might be a bracha levatala. By the way, we once discussed this in the following context, and that is when the Chazan makes the bracha, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah Tzivanu Likra Tahalel, and everyone says, Amen, and goes ahead and says the bracha again, I think it's very problematic, because you've already said Amen, you were Yotze. The only way you weren't Yotze is if you say it together with him, and I would suggest that would be the better practice. But Am Yisrael does otherwise, and we once explained why it might be okay. But with regard to Kiddush, it's the same dilemma. In any case...
What about if you want your son to learn the words so when he gets married he can say it correctly?
So tell him to say it along with you. To learn the words, that would be the best possible way to do it. He says it at the same time with you.
They do Birkas HaShachar, there's a class, they start from the brachos. That means you shouldn't answer Amen when the person gets up there and says all the brachos?
No, you should answer Amen because of the Rovam Ba'adrat Melech.
Then you shouldn't say it yourself then.
If you want to say it yourself, say it before you come to shul. That's what I do. And then I say Amen. It's nice to say Amen to brachos. Amen is a very important part of Judaism. That's a whole shir into itself. But it's not that you're saying Amen in your Yotze. You're saying Amen to someone saying a bracha. And this way you said your 15 brachas in the morning, and you answered Amen to someone else's brachas. But it would be very problematic that after you said you heard the brachas, and you didn't say it yet, for you to say it again. So all this whole machlokas, is only if you didn't hear it from someone else. What's better? That you say it on your own, or someone should say it on your behalf. But if you've already heard it, I don't think this machlokes gets off the ground. So we saw the mitzvah v'obram v'advat melech this morning. Unfortunately, we're in a situation where we have to limit that greatly, and that is a kiyum of guarding your soul. Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope we get out back to a place where all these halachos will be relevant again, and we'll be able to ask and debate and have machlokeses about what's more important. Rovam v'hadrat melech, or every single person doing the mitzvah on their own. Is Rabbi Zef here?
Rabbi Chaim Kantarovich is going to step up. Rabbi Zef couldn't make it this morning.
Where are you?
Online, so let me know.
Reb Chaim, where are you? Where are you, Reb Chaim? I don't see you here. Reb Chaim?
He's waiting. He's waiting.
He's waiting. Tell him to come in. I can say hello. Give him my best regards when you see him. In any case, gentlemen...
I have one question regarding your statement earlier on about the Knesset speaker that.